scripture reading for this evening you can find in Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 6, the first 9 verses. Ephesians 6, the word of God to us tonight. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service, as to the Lord, and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye, masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Thus far we have God's infallible word. Dear congregation, it is common knowledge and wisdom, I trust, that as the state and the condition of a family is in any given nation, likewise the state and the condition of society itself. Whether it be for good or for ill, for better or for worse. And truly, we can see the latter taking shape in our nation, clearly evident in our schools, in our workplaces, in our churches, in our courts, in the halls of government, in our media. Fruit of unwillingness to abide by the good law of God. All 10 commandments, but particularly as we wish to focus on tonight, the 5th commandment. We wish to do that from the passage which we read, the entire passage, particularly the first 3 verses, of course, but we'll just read verse 1 at this time. Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We used to do that in conjunction with Lord's Day 39, question 104, which you can find in the back of your Psalter, page 75. We read the question, what does God require in the 5th commandment? And the answer that I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and all in authority over me. I submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. You see, in this passage, and we wish to have our theme, love rule number 5, honor your parents. In the first place, we will see the divine order. In the second place, we will see human frailty. But thirdly, the eternal reward. Love rule number 5, honor your parents, divine order, human frailty, an eternal reward. There is order in everything God does, even in moving from the fourth to the fifth commandment. As keeping Sabbath is for all times and all places, not limited to the Old Testament, so obeying and honoring our father and mother is not limited to children. As children, that commandment comes to all of us, also to us as adults. We see that in the context of the passage we read. It's clearly not just about children obeying their father and mother. It's about all society. Verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. It's about servants. It's about masters. It's about obedience. Verse 1 states, obey. Children, obey your parents. The literal word obey is hear or listen to them. Listen to your dad and to your mom. Do as they tell you, or don't do as they tell you not to. Do as you hear from them. Don't they often say, when they have told you to do something, did you hear me? Clearly they mean more than just listening. They mean that you should be obedient to them. But it's more than just doing, isn't it? There's more to obedience than doing. There's more to that. We see in verse 2 it says, honor thy father and mother. We have to honor, we have to respect, we have to value them. And here we find, of course, the echo of Exodus 20, verse 12, where the commandment itself is, honor thy father and thy mother. To honor them, to respect them, value them, treasure them. Show your parents, children, in your words, in the way you speak to them, in your actions, but especially in your attitude. That which is inside, and that too often, isn't it, comes out. Maybe you do sometimes what your mom and dad tell you to do, but you do it grumbling, maybe muttering under your breath. Well, God considers that disobedience. Your hands, your feet may do the thing, but you go through the motions. It's not obedience. Unless it's heartfelt. We read that also in verse 6. Doing the will of God from the heart. Rather say in a cheerful way, okay, Dad. Or, okay, Mom. Cheerfully. And then go about doing it. That's obedience. When it comes from the heart. When it's cheerfully done. You see, why is it that way? Well, it's not just about you or them. It's about God. It says, in the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. As unto Christ. It's all focused on the Lord. It's about God. It's a serious matter to be disobedient. In Deuteronomy 21, we read what they were to do with a stubborn and rebellious son. They had to bring him to the elders, and the elders had to stone such a man. If he would not listen to good instruction. It's part of divine order. The word divine means God's order. Godly order. And so, to honor both dad and mom, your parents, in the Lord, as unto the Lord. The question that we just read says it. What does God require in the fifth commandment? That I show. It doesn't say children only. I. It's part of the Ten Commandments. It's not limited to children. That are young. We all are children of our parents. And there's even a broader circle of society. I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and all in authority over me. And in the end of that question says, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Show all honor. Because if you honor our parents, we honor God. If we love our parents, it's an evidence that we love God. Love rule number 5, therefore. So you can say then, Mom, I'd love to do that for you. It's my pleasure to do it. That's pleasing to God. All fidelity, literally it means faithfulness, but it can also mean loyalty. I like that word, loyalty. Fidelity, loyalty, that's devoted care for my parents and also defending them. Fidelity. And notice also the divine order in to my father and mother and all in authority. Not only order is in the sense of keeping order, that all things may be done orderly, but also have a chain of command, as it were. A ranking order. First, second, third, and so forth. Father being the first. I know we often say mom and dad, and that's okay. Seems to be a common way to say mom and dad more than dad and mom. Perhaps that is because the mother is the heart of the home, the most affectionate perhaps, and the father is the head of the home. It's okay to say it that way. But God very plainly puts it everywhere we find it, father and mother. It's not because he is more important or he is more important, but it's for order's sake. In the family, in society. Therefore, even in the previous chapter we read in verse 22, chapter 5, that we read that wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. The connection there is made as well. Unto the Lord. Because that's why, ultimately, he is the real authority. We find it also, of course, in 1 Corinthians 11. The headship, also made visible in the head covering in the church. We dealt with that some time ago. And that's all because of the chain of command. The head of every man, 1 Corinthians 11, we read, the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. It's also clearly applied to all society. In the passage that we read, and in the answer of the catechism, it says, it's due obedience. Since it is because it pleases God to govern us by their hand. God governs us, children, by the hands of our parents. But even in our church, the Lord governs us by means of sinful men elected to their places. In Romans 13, we read in verse 1, let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And then verses 5 through 7 clearly puts this in perspective about servants and masters and how they must submit themselves to their rule and to their fatherly authority and to all of society. So there's a double focus here. It's not just about parents and children, parents being older and the children being young, but it's also the focus on God. God being there. He manifesting himself by means of human instruments. As unto Christ. Employees. An employer relationship. Students at school and your teachers. And in church as a congregation. Having a relationship with our office bearers, police officers, ordained and appointed, hired by men, yet representing God as authority. Equal before God, but unequal before people. Having different position of authority, different authority on God's behalf. God cares for people. God cares for families. And that's why He wants all things done decently and in order. God's divine order. It's His decree. It's His desire. If I may put it like that, it's His recipe for happy families, for a happy church, for a happy society, for a happy nation. It's a love rule. It's something pleasant, not something restricting, to honor our parents. So it's perfect in its institution. It's not perfect in its working out. And it brings us to our second point. We have to deal with human frailty. Even though we have a divine order, we have also to deal with human frailty. It's obviously not working out perfectly. Not in our families, not in our church, not in our land. But that's not God's fault. It's ours. It's our sin that got mixed in that perfect gift of God. It's evident, isn't it? In our homes. Not only when children are disobedient at times, but even when we as fathers provoke our children to wrath. Both our children, as well as we are parents, sinful, become short. And that's why we're asked to bear, it says in the answer, bear with their weaknesses and infirmities. Patiently bear with that. We're called to submit children to our parents. That means that they know at times better than we do, and we have to bow. They sometimes have to discipline us because we might be going in the wrong direction. But as our parents do it, they do it as sinful parents too. There are no perfect parents. There are no perfect children. There are no perfect office bearers. There are no perfect ministers. There are no perfect people upon this earth. Our perfection and our hope is in the Lord. That's why it's so emphatically stated repeatedly, as unto Christ, in the Lord, by His grace, submit to their instruction, their correction, bear with their weaknesses and infirmities. And it goes two ways, dear congregation. Not only children, your parents' weaknesses, but they bear with yours. They must bear with your weaknesses. When you were very little, they would carry you, they would care for you, they did all kinds of things for you. And sometimes they must bear with your being slow to hear. Or maybe other weaknesses or certain things that maybe you and your mom and dad are the only ones that know. They bear with you, and so you bear with them. All human frailty. At home, at school, in church. Both sinful and needy. That's why children, you and we all must say, I submit myself to their good instruction and correction, because I need to be taught. I need to be taught. That's how we all have to look at it. I need to be taught. Discipline. And patiently bear with one another's weaknesses. As they with us, so we with them. But it's possible when it's in the Lord, as unto Christ, looking to Him to do it indeed, motivated by love. Not by force. Not by compulsion. Not by wrath. Verse 5. Or 4 rather. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Do not tempt them and press them to get very angry. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nourish them as a tree is nourished and some fertilizer is added and some water is given and some soil is made loose. And tender care. That's the picture here. Admonition too. But in love. Out of love. And in love. So children, obey because you love. Fathers, mothers, discipline because you love. And so we then rule and are ruled by the very same principle. At home, at school, in the workplace, even though others might not do it, we are called to do it. So be witnesses of Christ, that people can see that we've been with the Lord Jesus indeed. That we want to rule and be ruled in love and office bearers in the congregation. You read in further later verses 2 and 6 and on to do it not with eye service as men pleases, but as servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. With goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Verse 9, we read, ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening. Avoid threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. How does he deal with you? How tender and kind and patient is he with us? So we ought to be with one another. Congregation, with us office bearers. We as office bearers with you. So as in the family, so in the church. So we honor our parents, spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers, as well as natural parents. In 1 Peter 2:18, we read, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. With all fear. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Literally, that word means crooked. To those that are cross, that are not so gentle and not so good. We're still called to submit, to be subject to them. So to speak respectfully about those that are set in authority over us. Even though we do not agree with President Obama's view on a lot of things, we still speak respectfully about him. You know that he has made no secret of the fact that the children belong to the state. He's written that in one of his books on education. We believe they belong to the parents, but in the Lord, we still respect him and we honor him for his office. So it's with teachers and in our workplace, our employers, in church with our office bearers. Always honor them. Even it says the froward. Speak respectfully about them in the presence of your children. If you want to teach your children to respect and honor you, speak in a respectful way about those that are set over you. So honor them. Not only teach your children to honor those that are in authority over them, but also show it by example. And pray for them. Do you do that? Pray for your office bearers. Pray for the school teachers. Pray for those that are in authority in government and in our courts. We must honor them by word and by our example and in our prayers. And when they do well, we read that 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Especially they that labor in word and doctrine, but that accounts for all that are in authority. If they do well, they receive double honor. First for the office and then for the way they conduct themselves in their office. So always honor. And only disobey. Only disobey them if we are forced into sin. That's the only time that we may and must disobey. We may not disobey them because they sin. Only when they force us to sin, then we must stand firm, draw a line in the sand, as we heard Mordecai do when Haman called him to bow. And then we must say with Peter in Acts 5:29, we ought to obey God more than men. So it's not just about little children, young children, but it's for older ones, for us adults, for all of us. When we're married, of course, we do not obey our parents as we used to. There's a slow transition time. And certainly when we marry, we start a new family. Especially when you get children, then your parents. So we don't obey them the way we did before. We do continue to honor them. We continue to show all honor, love and fidelity. Especially fidelity. As they grow older and weaker. They grow old and frail. So that we would bear with their weakness and infirmities even more. Especially when we consider the way our society has developed in the last 50 years perhaps, where we do not care for our elderly as former generations perhaps have done, where families would take in their aging parents in their own homes. Of course, we have rest homes. We have Plymouth Manor. We may be grateful for all that. But when I go around and visit elderly people that are scattered throughout the city, invariably I find lonely people. Lonely, without sense of purpose. It would be good to have, I thought about that many times, a place of our own where all our elderly people could be together. But that seems to be not feasible. But what about taking them in our own homes as long as possible? Isn't that something perhaps to consider? There's so many benefits. I know that many of the elderly have taken their parents in their homes, cared for them until they couldn't do it anymore. Then they had to go to a nursing home when they needed special medical assistance and attention. But many of the elderly people that are in rest homes are doing well physically. So many benefits that for not only for them but for us as families. Counsel, wisdom, assistance. Simple as folding laundry and taking care of a crying baby and taking care of little ones when mom has to go shopping, or you can name them. There are many, many good reasons. Certainly fellowship between the grandchildren and grandparents. Giving our parents honor. Worthy honor. Sense of purpose, usefulness, however good rest homes may be. There's nothing like living in a family setting where one generation may help another and be useful to one another. Something to consider, dear congregation. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, if any man provide not for his own, we always read it as for his own children. How about if you read it for his own parents? Especially for those of his own house. Yet deny the faith is worse than an infidel. And if it's 16 of 1 Timothy 5, the focus on the widows. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them. Let not the church be charged. primary responsibility seems to be in the family circle, not government, not the church. They may assist. And the Lord Jesus, did he not strongly rebuked the Pharisees in Mark 7 when they gave money to God's service and then excusing themselves in not caring for their parents and saying, Korban, it's a gift. In other words, I've given it to the church, so I have no means now to care for my own parents. Something to consider, dear congregation, as part of honor thy father and thy mother. You see, as our children need us when they're young, so we will need them when we are old. And as I said before already, they learn from us as we treat our parents. So they very likely will treat us. But if we honor them and respect them and value them and treasure them lifelong, as we grow up, as we see our parents grow older, then there is great reward. That brings us to our third point, the eternal reward. So as the Catechism speaks of due obedience, it is due to God, due to the parents, as unto the Lord. The Bible says, for this is right. Then it's not only the divine order that would cause us to do these things, but also our human frailty, knowing we need the Lord and we need this divine order to submit to it. It's the right thing to do. We owe it to God. We owe it to them as unto the Lord. The Lord says in Malachi 1:6, and he combines there again also the family and society, as it were. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Literally it says here in verse 1, this is right, this is righteous. It's a God glorifying thing to do. It's fulfilled in love. It's commanded, yes. But it's not just a duty. It's a good thing to do. It's a blessed thing to do. It's right. It's lovely. In and of itself. And even though that is true, the Lord still added a promise to it. Have you read that? In verse 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And the promise being long life. Verse 3, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. In Exodus 20, of course, we read, live long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, it is obvious, I'm sure you could know of examples of children that were very obedient and did not live long. At least not on the earth. However, many will live long when they obey father and mother. When they listen to good advice and good instruction and submit to good correction that will keep them from harm's way. So many will indeed live long upon the earth. And it may well be connected indeed. For if we do what's right, generally we are healthy. We live better, healthy, longer lives. It's God's blessed way. By the use of the means, by keeping from bad influences, keeping from substance abuse, alcohol or drugs, or living in any other sinful way. If our parents lead us rightly according to the Word of God in love, and we submit and follow in that way of love, it's a good way. It's a wholesome way. So there is a connection between using the means and being blessed in the very use of it. There will be a reward, in other words. Not a reward of merit, as I said earlier. Not something we can earn. A reward of grace. It's evident. It's God's gift. It's God's free gift. But that free gift includes not only law, but also gospel. Not only what we must do, but also how to do it. Looking to Christ. God's supreme gift of love. He not only suffered and died for sinners so that we may have life, but He also exemplified, He honored His parents. When they rebuked Him, He followed them back to their home. Even on the cross, He cared for His mother. It's God's good gift. It's a gift that flows from God, and therefore it's a gift that keeps giving. It's a continual blessing. That's what it will be when love indeed rules in our lives. Love begets love. It's contagious. Faith works by love. It's God's covenant-keeping love that's in this commandment. God gave it for our good, for the good of our families, for the good of our church, for the good of our schools, for the good of our society, that we may indeed be little churches in this world and be an influence for good. It's God's covenant-keeping love. As we keep covenant with Him, He keeps covenant with us. From one generation to the next, the Lord says, I am the Lord thy God. That's what this commandment is all about, from one generation to the next. So there's more than that which takes place on earth. There's also a fruit and reward of that which will take place in heaven. We sang it in the last Psalter. We sang it also earlier in Psalter 360, which is from Psalm 128. For six, yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. Peace of the people of God that live in the land of God. So it's not only about temporal blessings. It's also about eternal blessings. You know that in the land the Lord thy God giveth thee, that's Canaan. And you know that Canaan was a picture of heaven. A picture of rest after a weary journey through the wilderness. Of course, Canaan itself wasn't rest, but a feigned illustration and picture of it. But yet we must remember that those that indeed live by the commandments of God, by the grace of God, not only have a temporal reward, but also an eternal reward. And we know that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. As we mentioned last time when we spoke about Sabbath keeping, it will be in one place. So heaven, the heavenly Jerusalem, will descend upon the earth, and God Himself through Christ will dwell among His people. That we may dwell in the land which the Lord our God will give as undivided families. From one generation to the next, that grandparents and parents and grandchildren may be there together. If this law, this love rule, is also obeyed, so the fourth commandment, keeping Sabbath, and the fifth commandment have a lot in common. the last one of the first table and the first one of the second table. The first one, or the last commandment of the first table and the first of the second table. They're the only two commandments that are phrased in a positive way. Keep Sabbath, honor your parents. All the other ones are thou shalt not. These two are like a bridge where they're connected. The transition really from the authority of God, the worship of God, the honor of God, to how that must be worked out in society. And it is naturally that the first commandment is then those that will be representatives of God's honor and authority upon this earth. We honor God, we worship Him, we serve Him, and as we then serve one another, we see the Father, the parents, to be in the place of God. So we must honor them, for they are in God's behalf. Isn't that the emphasis throughout this passage? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, as unto Christ. Not with eye service, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With goodwill, doing services to the Lord and not to men. God's representatives. That's the Lord Himself, even ruling the church through the office bearers. We as parents are but instruments in the hand of God. It's the emphasis of these verses, isn't it? Also focus of verse 8 and verse 9, knowing that whatsoever thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. We have a reward, it says. Whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. We have a master in heaven, who's gone before us, the Lord Jesus. As we are servants of Him, the Master, the Lord Jesus. So we as children honor and serve and care for our parents, as students, at school for your teachers, employers, employees, congregation, office bearers. It's all very same principle. God, by means of them, ruling us. We, honoring them, and so honoring God. And therefore we must be encouraged by this love rule to honor our parents. Yes, we are convicted. We come short of it in many, many ways. We confess our sins to the Lord and to each other. And we resolve to truly do what the Lord has called us to do for their honor, but also for our own well-being. So we must be encouraged as parents, as children, as teachers, as students. This is God's divine, this is the divine order. And there is human frailty indeed. It's evident. Comes through in many, many ways. And as office bearers too, we must be encouraged. Though we see many shortcomings and sins and frailty in our own hearts and lives, and in the lives of those to whom we minister. But we know it's God's work. He's at work. He's building His church. He does it in families. He does it in churches. Also our own. And there will be then a reward, an eternal reward, not of merit, but of grace, through Christ. And so through Him, we will then hear, even though we've sinned and come short in many ways, but through the blood of Jesus Christ, we may hear, enter into the joy of the Lord. Come, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joy of the Lord. The congregation, may we consider this commandment, the fifth commandment, from this perspective. Pray for grace to remember divine order human frailty, eternal reward. Amen.